Welcome to Dark Florida. I'm your host, Brooke Moreland, and I'll be your guide as we explore the darkest corners of our reality. But first, do you have a chilling story of your own? Have you encountered something you can't quite explain? Maybe you've seen something in the woods or heard whispers in the dark. Whatever it is, I want to hear from you. If you're brave enough to share, email me at Dark Florida Podcast. You could be the next guest on the show. So sit back, relax, and prepare for another thrilling episode. The Kelly Hopkinsville encounter, also referred to as the Hopkinsville Goblins case or the Kelly Greenman case, is reported close encounter with extraterrestrial beings. This event took place near the communities of Kelly and Hopkinsville in Christian County, Kentucky, on the night of August 21st and into the early hours of August 22nd, 1955. On the evening of August 21st, 1955, at approximately 7 p.m., a group of 5 adults and 7 children burst into the Hopkinsville police station in a state of sheer panic. They claimed their remote farmhouse had come under siege by small, strange creatures that had emerged from a spaceship. For nearly 4 hours, the family said they'd been locked in a desperate battle, firing their weapons to keep the intruders at bay. Elmer Lucky Sutton and Billy Ray Taylor, two of the adults, recounted how bizarre the short, dark figures would eerily appear at the doorways and peer through the windows, seemingly undeterred by their gunfire. Their voices trembled as they described the relentless nature of the attack, pleading for help in what they believed was a life or death situation. Now let's take this back to the beginning, where all the madness started. The group was inside, busy preparing dinner, when Billy Ray Taylor stepped outside to fetch some water from the well. It was just another quiet evening, until it wasn't. As Billy Ray glanced up at the sky, something strange caught his eye. At first he wasn't sure what he was seeing, but then it became clear. There, streaking across the sky from the southwest, was a flying saucer, trailing a dazzling exhaust, shimmering with all the colors of the rainbow. He stood there, rooted to the spot, watching as this thing moved through the air. It wasn't like anything he'd ever seen before. He later described it as, quote, an egg-shaped washtub all lit up like a streak of fire, end quote. Whatever it wasn't natural, and it wasn't stopping. Just as he tried to make sense of what he was seeing, the object suddenly paused, just hung there in the sky, silent and motionless for a moment that felt like an eternity. Without warning, it dropped. It plummeted fast, vanishing behind a frosted 40-foot gully in the distance. Billy Ray was shaken with fear. He rushed back inside, his mind racing with what he'd just witnessed. Whatever landed out there wasn't from this world, or at least that's what he believed. And in that moment, he had no idea how much stranger the night was about to get. Billy Ray burst through the door, breathless and wide-eyed, as he tried to explain what he'd just seen. He warned the others inside, his words tumbling over each other in his urgency. But instead of concern, he was met with laughter. They dismissed his story outright, brushing it off as some tall tale or maybe a trick of light. For a while, life carried on as normal. But about 45 minutes later, as the sun dipped below the horizon and the farm was swallowed into the eerie quiet of twilight, something shifted. The family's dog, usually calm, began barking furiously outside. Its violent, panicked barks shattered the evening calm and putting everyone on edge. Billy Ray and 25-year-old Elmer Lucky Sutton, one of Glennie's sons, exchanged uneasy glances. They grabbed what courage they had and stepped out the back door to see what had the dog so worked up. Little did they know, this was just the beginning of a night they would never forget. Billy Ray and Lucky stepped outside, the cool air thick with tension. The barking had stopped, but the dog wasn't calm. It was terrified. They saw it scrambling in a panic, tail tucked as it darted under the farmhouse, desperately trying to hide from whatever had frightened it. Their eyes turned toward the direction where Billy Ray had earlier seen the saucer descend, and that's when they saw it. Among the shadowy trees, a strange, eerie glow began to move. It wasn't natural. This light pulsed faintly, growing brighter as it slowly advanced towards the house. Frozen for a moment, the two men watched in silence as the glow crept closer, cutting through the darkness like some otherworldly lantern. Whatever it was, it wasn't stopping. The air felt heavier now, charged with the sense that something completely unknown was coming their way. As the strange light moved closer, its shape began to take form. Billy Ray and Lucky stood frozen, their eyes fixed on what they could now see more clearly, a glowing humanoid figure unlike anything they had ever imagined. They described the creature as standing no more than 2.5 to 4 feet tall, with a disproportionately large, bald round head that seemed to sit directly on its shoulders as if it had no neck at all. Its enormous yellow eyes glowed eerily, reflecting the light around it. The eyes were larger than a human's and spread unnaturally far apart, drawing attention in a way that was almost hypnotic. The creature's arms were unnervingly long, dragging the ground as it moved, and its hands ended in what looked like claws. Its head adorned with oversized pointed ears, and its appearance became more alien with every detail. Billy Ray later described the nose as long, tapering to a point with the ball on the end, end quote. But not everyone agreed. Some of the women who witnessed the creature insisted it had no nose at all, speculating that the eyes were so otherworldly and distracting, they may have missed it entirely. This glowing, unsettling figure was unlike anything from this world. As the creature moved closer, the witnesses took in more of its unsettling details. Its upper body was described as muscular, almost unnaturally so, while its legs appeared rigid and inflexible, seemingly to serve no purpose other than to support its frame. The way it moved was strange and unnatural. Its hips swayed awkwardly as though it were wading through water, each step deliberate yet oddly mechanical. Some of the witnesses claimed its feet looked like suction cups, while others admitted they hadn't even noticed them, their attention drawn elsewhere. The creature's body appeared to glimmer in the moonlight, as if it were made of metal or encased in some kind of silvery, skin-tight suit. Whatever it was, it reflected light in a way that only added to its eerie, otherworldly presence. Glennie, one of the witnesses, described the creature in a way that stuck with everyone. Quote, "It looked like a 5-gallon gasoline can with a head on top and small legs. It was shimmering, bright metal like on my refrigerator," end quote. The comparison to something so mundane yet so alien only heightened the state of unease. This wasn't just a strange visitor. It was something completely beyond their understanding. Glennie later saw an artist's description of the creature and was so shaken by its accuracy that she couldn't bear to look at it. Quote, "It's just too close to what I saw," she said, turning her gaze away from the image. The drawing captured every unsettling detail described that night. The large, bald, round head, the glowing, far-apart eyes, the disproportionately long arms with claw-like hands, and the strange metallic body that shimmered as if it was made of polished steel. Even the awkward, stiff legs and the peculiar shape of the creature were spot on. Other witnesses agreed, commenting on how eerily accurate the depiction was to what they had seen. For them, the picture brought back every chilling moment of the encounter. We'll be sharing the image on our Instagram and Facebook pages for the show so you can see it for yourself. It's a glimpse into what the witnesses claimed terrorized them that night, and it might just give you a sense of why this encounter has remained so unforgettable. As the creature drew closer to the house, it moved slowly, almost methodically, its glowing form growing more distinct in the dim light. Then, in a moment that would forever be etched in their memories, it raised its long, clawed hands into the air. Billy Ray and Lucky were paralyzed with fear. Without thinking, they rushed inside to grab whatever weapons they could find, a .22 rifle and a shotgun. Their hands were shaking as they loaded the guns, heartbeats pounding in their ears. As the creature reached the back door, they fired. The sound of the gunshots rang out, shattering the stillness of the night. But the creature didn't fall. Instead, it did something they could hardly believe. After being struck, it somersaulted backwards in an unnatural aerobic motion, landing effortlessly on its feet. It didn't hesitate. It didn't scream. It simply scrambled away, vanishing into the night, seemingly unharmed. The men were left in stunned silence, unsure if they had just witnessed an impossible reality. What had they just shot at? How was it still standing, still moving? The fear that gripped them only deepened, and it was clear. This wasn't just an encounter with something unknown. It was something they couldn't understand or even explain. The men watched, their hearts racing as the creatures moved closer yet again. While their legs appeared flimsy and rigid, their arms seemed to have no such limitations. When the creatures moved, they did so with surprising speed, their limbs swinging quickly as they advanced. Up until that moment, Miss Langford and the other women had thought the men were playing a prank. They laughed off the stories and thinking it was some elaborate joke. But when they saw the creatures with their own eyes, the laughter turned to terror. Panic set in, and without a second thought, they rushed to protect the children, herding them inside and hiding them under the bed, away from the windows, away from whatever was out there. The men re-entered the house, breathless and on edge, their eyes darting nervously around the room. They waited and praying for any sign of safety when just moments later, a face appeared in the window. It was looking right at them from the other side of the house, its glowing eyes shining through the darkness. Without hesitation, the men shot at it through the screen. The gunshots rang out and the tension unbearable. But just like before, the creature didn't fall. After being hit, it performed this strange somersaulting motion, flipping backwards, just like before, disappearing once more into the night. The fear that gripped everyone in the house deepened. Their sense of safety shattered with each impossible encounter. What they had witnessed was no longer something they could deny. It was real, and it was terrifying. Billy Ray, still shaken but determined, stepped outside once more to investigate. But before he could get far, a hand suddenly reached down from the roof above, grabbing a fistful of his hair. Panic surged through him as he screamed in shock and pain. The women rushed to his aid, dragging him back into the safety of the house, their hands shaking with fear. Lucky, not wasting a second, grabbed his shotgun and dashed outside, determined to protect them all. Without hesitation, he fired at whatever was on the roof. The sound of the shot echoed through the night, followed by a heavy thud as something, some creature, tumbled off the roof and hit the ground below. As they stood there breathless, the witnesses noticed a peculiar sound when the creatures were struck, like tin cans or metal buckets were being hit. It was an unnerving, hollow sound that added to the surreal and otherworldly feeling of this encounter. Billy Ray's eyes widened as he spotted another creature in a nearby tree, its glowing form barely visible in the dark. He yelled out, pointing it out to Lucky, and without missing a beat, they both fired at it. The creature was hit, but instead of crashing to the ground, it seemed to gently float down, almost as if gravity had no effect on it. They shot at another one, but this time, the creature didn't fall. It scurried off, disappearing into the darkness with startling speed. Fear surged through Billy Ray and Lucky as they realized that whatever these creatures were, they weren't just visitors from another world. They were something beyond anything they could comprehend. But by this point, the creatures were closing in, moving with an unsettling calmness. One of them, seemingly undeterred by the gunfire, began to move around the side of the house. It crept slowly, and before long, it was almost directly in front of Lucky, standing just a few feet away. The creature raised its hands again, making the same strange gesture that it had before. Later, after the chaos had subsided, Mrs. Langford wondered if the creature's actions were an attempt at communication of some kind of gesture to signal its intention, though what it meant remains a mystery. Lucky didn't hesitate. With fear rising in his chest, he shot at the creature once more. The bullet struck, just like before. The creature seemed unfazed. It scurried off into the darkness as if the shot had done nothing at all. The night was clear and moonlit, but there was something strange about the way the creatures glowed. Some speculated that it was the moonlight reflecting off their suits or skin, making them shimmer in the darkness. But there was a disturbing pattern to the glow. It seemed brighter every time they were hit, or when witnesses shouted at them. It was almost as if the creatures were reacting to the noise or the impact of the bullets. their glow intensifying in response, feeding off the energy in the air. It was a phenomenon that only deepened the mystery, leaving everyone wondering what these creatures truly were and why they behaved the way that they did. The family could never quite agree on how many beings were out there that night. Some speculated that there were 12 to 15, a number that was later popularized by the newspapers. But based on the initial reports and their own observations, it seemed there were only a handful of creatures. The real mystery, however, was how quickly they moved, darting in and out of sight with an unsettling agility, making it difficult to get a clear count. Realizing that their current strategy wasn't having any effect, the men knew that they needed to change tactics. The creatures were too fast, too elusive, and simply shooting at them wasn't working. They decided to retreat back inside, their minds racing as they tried to come up with a new plan. Something, anything that could give them a better shot at defending themselves. Time was running out, and they had no idea what these creatures might do next. But it was clear they had to act quickly if they had any hope of making it through the night. In a desperate bid to gain some control over the situation, they flicked on the porch lights, hoping the bright glow would offer them a better view of whatever was lurking in the shadows. That's when they noticed something strange. The creature seemed to avoid the light. They would inch closer to the house, only to turn and skitter away, trying to approach from different angles, and always staying within the cover of darkness. Some have theorized that the creatures weren't simply using the shadows to conceal themselves, but that they actually seemed to have an aversion to the light itself. Whether it was the intensity of the illumination or something deeper, it was clear that the creatures did not want to be exposed to it. The pattern was unmistakable. It raised more questions about these beings. What were they, and why did they shy away from the light? This situation reminds me of an interview I recently listened to with Adam Davies, where he shared an eerie account from his own field research. He had been asked to investigate an area in Washington with a known history of Bigfoot activity. One night, as he was trying to get some sleep, he was suddenly awakened by these small, unsettling beings that seemed intent on attacking him and another man who was with him. But here's the strange part. Whenever Adam shined his flashlight on them, the creatures would vanish. When I came across this detail while researching for today's episode, I had to pause for a moment because it was so strikingly similar to what the witnesses in Hopkinsville experienced. I highly recommend checking out Adam Davies' full interview on the Confessionals podcast, episode 710, where he goes into much more detail about his experience. It's a fascinating story that ties into what we've been talking about here today, and I think you'll find it just as chilling as I did. But back to the story. The creatures seemed relentless, returning again and again to the house. They would pop up in the windows, their glowing eyes staring in at the terrified family. Each time the men would fire at them, only for the creatures to retreat momentarily before reappearing at the windows once more, peering inside with the same eerie intensity. It was a maddening cycle, one that stretched on without any sign of stopping. Though the creatures never tried to enter the house, their presence was felt all around. The sounds of movement on the roof echoed through the night, and there was no chatter and no vocalizations from the creatures. Just the unsettling sound of them scurrying about as if waiting for their next move. The strange standoff lasted for hours, around 3 to 4 by most accounts. Though it's unclear exactly how many shots were fired, it's said that the men went through several boxes of ammunition. So by 11 p.m., they realized they weren't making any progress and the creatures were still out there lurking. It was then when Miss Langford suggested something drastic. Since the beings hadn't shown any signs of aggression, they made no attempt to break in and no direct harm. Their best chance might be to make a run for it. She proposed they rush to the vehicles and head straight for the police department. It was a last-ditch effort to escape, but it was the only option left. In a frantic rush, the family gathered the children, each of them terrified but determined to escape. They piled into their vehicles, speeding away from the farmhouse, hearts pounding as they made their way to the police station. They arrived shortly after 11 p.m., adrenaline still coursing through their veins as they rushed inside. The police officers inside were taken aback by the sight of the family. visibly shaken and desperate to explain the horror they had just experienced. The room was filled with panic as the family tried to convey what they had seen and endured. At first, the police weren't sure what to make of the story, but they could sense that something about it felt genuine. The family wasn't exaggerating or fabricating details. They were simply terrified, and it was clear that they had witnessed something that defied explanation. The EMS workers at the station noted the physical signs of fear. Billy Ray Taylor, for example, had a racing pulse of 140 beats per minute, a clear indicator of the intense distress he had been under. The urgency of the situation was not lost on authorities. The family's account of hours spent fighting off these creatures prompted a swift response. The police mobilized, calling in 16 officers from surrounding areas, along with 4 military policemen for added security. In addition, a reporter, a skeptical photographer, and 2 members of the local community joined to uncover the truth behind what had just happened. The small town had never seen anything like this, and everyone wanted to know what truly occurred on that dark, unforgettable night. As the officers made their way to the farm, one of them reported seeing 2 meteors streaking across the sky. The meteors were loud, deafening even, and they sounded like a roar of artillery fire. The officer noted that they were moving in the opposite direction away from the farmhouse, adding another layer of mystery to an already strange event unfolding. The search for the creatures continued well into the night, with police combing the area until around 2 a.m. The atmosphere was thick with tension. Every sound, every movement had the officers on high alert, their nerves fraying as the minutes stretched into hours. At one point during the search, a startled cat yelled after one of the officers accidentally stepped on its tail. The sound of the cat's cry sent a shockwave of panic through the group, and Chief Russell Greenwell, head of the Hopkinsville Police Department, later recalled, quote, "You've never seen so many pistols unholstered in your life." End quote. It was that moment that captured the raw fear of those involved. These were seasoned officers used to handling emergencies, but nothing could prepare them for the terror that they were facing that night. They were scared, and it wasn't just the creatures they were hunting. It was the unknown that had them on edge, and the feeling that something beyond their comprehension was out there in the dark. The family refused to go back inside the house until the officers had thoroughly searched it. Their fear was too great to risk returning before it was certain they were safe. Meanwhile, in the field where the creature was said to have fled, several officers reported seeing something strange. A patch in the ground was illuminated, glowing faintly. It measured 1.25 feet in diameter, an eerie spot in an otherwise dark landscape. Another officer reported seeing a strange green glow flickering in the woods, adding to the growing sense of unease. The police investigating the scene began to find clear evidence of a firefight. Shell casings littered the ground, and the damage to the windows in the house was undeniable. But despite the physical signs of a confrontation, the officers found no other concrete evidence of the creature's presence. The area where Billy Ray had originally seen the craft and where the mystery had all begun was never properly investigated that night. The fear that had taken over the group was palpable. Everyone was simply too frightened to venture out to that location, and the unknown was too overwhelming to confront. The police decided to call it a night, agreeing to return in the morning to continue their search. By around 2:15 a.m., the officers had left, and the family was still shaken, making their way inside, hoping to get some rest. But sleep wouldn't come easily. Just after 3:30 a.m., the creatures had returned. Mrs. Langford was awakened by an unmistakable feeling of being watched. As her eyes adjusted to the dark, she saw one of the creatures peering in through her windows, its eyes glowing like twin beacons in the night, and she could see its long claws pressed against the glass. Her heart raced, and in that moment, she tried to convince herself it was a trick of the mind, that she was dreaming, a hallucination from the stress of the night. But when she looked back, the creature was still there. Its terrifying presence undeniable, and the realization hit her like a wave. Whatever they had faced was far from being over. Miss Langford's scream pierced the quiet of the night, waking the rest of the family in a panic. Her son Lucky immediately sprang into action, and his voice filled with determination as he declared, "Mama, I'm gonna shoot that little man." She begged him not to go outside, pleading him to stay inside where it was safe. But despite her cries, he pushed forward, unwilling to back down. And once again, he fired at the creatures. He was met with the same frustrating result. The creature retreated, seemingly unharmed, just as it had before. The last sighting of the creature was reported around 5:15 a.m., after which the officers returned to the farm to continue their investigation. They searched the area thoroughly, looking for any sign that the creatures had been there. They climbed up onto the roof to examine the top of the house, but despite their efforts, they found no additional evidence. The mystery remained unsolved, and the fear that had gripped the family still lingered in the air. After further questioning, the police found that the family's story remained consistent, and their accounts never wavering from the details that they had originally stated. Despite the chaos of the night, their recollections aligned, leaving little room for doubt in the minds of the officers. Soon, the word of the terrifying encounter spread beyond Hopkinsville, quickly making headlines across the country. The family's nightmare was now a national sensation, but as it often happens with these stories of the unknown, the truth began to blur. Some reporters, eager to make a story more sensational, began embellishing the details and adding elements that the family never mentioned. One such example came from Waco, Texas, where the Evansville Courier was reporting that the family had fought off little green men. And that was the moment that the term little green men became widely popularized in the media. However, the family had never described the creatures as green. In fact, they described them as having a metallic hue, not a vibrant green that the press would later associate with extraterrestrials. The truth seemed like it was getting lost in the noise of the sensationalism. As news of the encounter spread, the Sutton family farm quickly became a spectacle, drawing in curious crowds by the thousands. And what started as an intrigue soon turned into a chaotic frenzy. The public, instead of approaching the incident with seriousness or empathy, treated it as a joke. Strangers swarmed the property, mocking the family's terrifying experience and turning it into a source of entertainment. Frustrated and deeply hurt, the family began shutting themselves off from reporters and visitors. They refused to talk, angered by the ridicule and disrespect that was aimed at their ordeal. A night had been of unimaginable fear was now being trivialized and with little regard for their trauma. The true audacity of some visitors is staggering. People camped out on the family's land without permission. They picnicked as though they were in a public park, and shockingly enough, some even walked directly into the Sutton home uninvited. The sheer brazenness of these actions was almost incomprehensible, adding insult to injury for the family already haunted by the night's events. Desperate to regain control of their lives and property, the family made every effort to deter the public from invading their land. They posted no trespassing signs and even involved the police to help remove the relentless crowds. But no matter what they did, the curious onlookers kept coming, undeterred by boundaries or warnings. Eventually, worn down by the constant intrusion and unable to keep the crowds at bay, the family gave in. They began charging a fee to allow people to access the property. While the decision may have helped them manage the chaos, it also fueled skepticism. Critics and naysayers quickly jumped on the opportunity to accuse the family of fabricating the entire encounter as a money-making scheme. For the Suttons, this was just another added layer of frustration, as their attempt to cope with the relentless attention was now being twisted into an attack on their credibility. As the frenzy subsided and life returned to somewhat normal, the creatures were never seen again. The Kelly Hopkinsville encounter would go down as one of the most bizarre and infamous alien encounters in history. Yet, the mystery was left unresolved, largely due to a lack of concrete physical evidence proving the creatures had ever been there. While there was ample evidence of gunfire, spent shells, and damage to the farmhouse, there was no definitive proof of who or what the family had been shooting at. There was, however, one curious detail. A neighbor reported seeing strange lights in the area around 7:45 p.m. on the night of the incident. At the time, the neighbor just assumed it was flashlights and didn't think to investigate it further. But beyond this, few leads emerged and the investigation itself started raising questions. Researchers later criticized the handling of the case, noting the glaring lack of professionalism. Investigators failed to preserve potential footprints or other physical evidence. Their approach was disorganized and haphazard. Any clues that may have existed could have easily been missed or accidentally destroyed in the chaos. The small town police force, untrained and ill-equipped for an event of this scale or nature, wasn't prepared to handle such an extraordinary situation. And so the case faded into the history of unexplained phenomena, leaving more questions than answers. So here are some of the questions. Since we only have the eyewitnesses' testimony to rely on, what does that mean for the credibility of this story? Let's take a step back and take a look at the people involved. Who were they really? What kind of lives did they lead? Could they have had any motive to fabricate something like this? And most importantly, does their character suggest they were the type of people to pull off an elaborate hoax? Or would they have anything to gain from doing so? Let's break it down. To tell you a little bit about the Sutton and Langford families, these are hardworking, humble, working-class people, just country folks living a quiet life. The only exception was Billy Ray and his wife June, who were originally from Pennsylvania. Now, as I dug into the story, I came across something that really bothered me. There was this narrative that some people pushed, trying to paint the family as dumb hillbillies who might concoct a wild story for attention. But why? Was it because they were from Kentucky? Was it easier to slap a stereotype on them rather than to take their story seriously? On the flip side, there were others who saw them differently, describing them as honest, down-to-earth people with no agenda, no scheme to make money, and no history of pulling stunts like this. That's the version I lean towards. I just don't buy that in an early attempt to discredit them on where they lived or who they were. From everything I've read and from everyone who met them, the family seemed genuine, terrified, and consistent in their accounts. So let me ask you this. Do you think they sounded like the kind of people who would pull off an elaborate hoax, or just a family who believed they encountered something that they couldn't explain? Another thing that stands out is how consistent the family story remained. Multiple people noted that their accounts, down to the children's, never wavered, and this was a big point against the idea that there was some kind of hoax. They didn't have any motive to make it up. Think about it. This wasn't some grand plan to get attention. The incident happened, they reported it, and afterwards they were mostly annoyed by the chaos that followed. For days, they tried to get the crowds to leave. Even the police couldn't disperse them, and when that failed, the family reluctantly tried to make the best of an overwhelming and frustrating situation. But it wasn't like they were thrilled about it, and by all accounts, the crowds drove them crazy, especially Lucky, who seemed to grow more frustrated as the ordeal went on. Then there's the alcohol theory. Some skeptics had suggested that maybe liquor played a role in what happened, but there is zero evidence to support that. In fact, the officers on scene specifically looked for signs of alcohol and found nothing. Miss Langford herself made it clear that no liquor was ever allowed in her house. So if anyone's leaning towards that explanation, it seems like a dead end. So what exactly did Billy Ray see in the sky that night? He described it as an egg or a washtub-shaped flying saucer trailing a streak of fire with an exhaust that shimmered every color of the rainbow. Now, let's ask the obvious question. Could it have been a meteor? Sure, maybe what he saw could have been mistaken for a meteor at first glance. But even if that were the case, how does it explain everything that followed? The terrifying siege on the family, the strange glowing creatures, and the hours-long standoff, it just doesn't add up. Whatever Billy Ray saw in the sky seemed to be just the beginning of something far more bizarre. So what could these creatures have been? Some skeptics have thrown out the idea that the culprit, believe it or not, was a great horned owl. These owls are actually pretty common throughout North America, and there's some pretty interesting parallels here. They've got those pointed tufts on their heads that could resemble ears, and their large glowing yellow eyes might match what the family described. Plus, great horned owls can be surprisingly aggressive, especially if someone stumbles too closely to their nest. But here's where the owl theory starts to fall apart. Owls aren't bulletproof, and the family claimed they hit these creatures multiple times, sometimes at point-blank range with a shotgun, and it didn't even faze them, not to mention the metallic clanging sound they heard every time a shot landed, or the fact that these creatures allegedly somersaulted after being hit. An owl might be feisty, but it definitely doesn't explain those details. Now, you could argue that maybe the family was so worked up that they misidentified what they were seeing, but let's think about that for a second. These were people who lived in rural Kentucky on a farm. They were no strangers to the local wildlife. Don't you think they'd know the difference between an owl and an unknown big-eyed being? Keep in mind, this wasn't just a quick glance at something in the dark. They encountered these beings repeatedly over several hours, and they had plenty of time to observe and process what they were seeing. And let's not forget, they turned on the porch light, which gave them a better view. If these creatures were just owls, surely they would have recognized them. This story also reminds me of the Flatwoods Monster case from West Virginia, which took place September 12, 1952. Now, this is one we'll definitely need to dive deeper into at another time, but here's a quick 1,000-foot overview of the incident. In Flatwoods, Braxton County, West Virginia, a bright light was seen crossing the sky, and shortly after, a creature was reported to have been sighted. Skeptics suggested the light was just a meteor, and the creature, possibly a barn owl, perched in a tree, with the shadows creating the illusion of a large humanoid. The children who saw it immediately thought it was a UFO and described a giant metallic being. Could these beings encountered by the Sutton and Langford families in 1955 actually be a type of cryptid rather than an extraterrestrial being? The idea that these strange creatures with their glowing eyes, small humanoid bodies, and almost playful yet menacing behavior could be something other than aliens is an intriguing theory. Could they have been a form of cryptid akin to a gremlin or some kind of unknown creature? Gremlins, for example, are often depicted in folklore as small, mischievous creatures that cause havoc, and they're known for their pranks and troublesome behavior. The creatures reported in Hopkinsville shared some of the characteristics that fit this description, particularly their tendency to pop up unexpectedly and peek through the windows and seemingly enjoy causing distress to the family. This playful yet unnerving behavior aligns with the traditional portrayal of gremlins in pop culture. Could these beings have been some type of cryptid with similar characteristics, a creature from local folklore that has not yet been discovered? Another possible connection to the concept of goblins, a term historically used to describe small, impish creatures in European folklore. Goblins are often portrayed as sneaky, mischievous, and occasionally malicious, much like the beings encountered in Hopkinsville. They may not always be depicted as having supernatural powers, but their otherworldly behavior and unsettling presence fit the description of what the family witnessed. There's also the possibility that these creatures are part of a broader, more mysterious cryptid phenomenon. We have numerous reports of similar encounters involving small beings, often described as goblin-like or gremlin-like, popping up in various parts of the world. These similarities suggest that perhaps the Hopkinsville goblins weren't so unique after all, but rather part of a wider pattern of cryptid sightings, with these creatures belonging to an entirely separate category of entities that blur the line between the natural and the supernatural. Perhaps these beings aren't extraterrestrial at all. The idea that they could be a form of an undiscovered animal or even an ancient species of cryptid could explain their strange behavior and overall lack of physical evidence. Cryptids, by their nature, tend to be elusive and very difficult to study, often leaving behind no clear trace or documentation. The fact that creatures like in the Hopkinsville case reportedly reacted to being shot at without showing any lasting harm could suggest they possess some kind of unique physiology that is resistant to conventional weapons or forces. Sightings of other cryptids like Bigfoot, which is often described as being reclusive and difficult to capture on film or in photos, raise the possibility that the Hopkinsville goblins belong to a similar class of creatures, one that is deeply ingrained in the folklore of rural communities but remains almost entirely unproven by modern science. Cryptids often exist in the shadows, and it's possible that the creatures seen by the Sutton and Langford families were just the tip of the iceberg, part of a hidden world of beings that remains undiscovered to this day. While many still cling to the ideas that the beings were aliens or extraterrestrial, the theory that they could be some form of cryptid opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. Could there be creatures out there that fit this description, lurking in rural areas, remaining hidden from human observation for decades? The more we explore the strange and the unexplained events like the Hopkinsville Goblin incident, the more we begin to realize that the world may be full of hidden creatures that science has yet to fully discover or understand. Whether these beings were extraterrestrial, cryptid, or something else entirely, the mystery of the Hopkinsville Goblins continues to fascinate and perplex. Each new theory, whether it's based on folklore, cryptozoology, or extraterrestrial speculation, adds another layer to the enigma of what happened that night in Kentucky. Whatever the true natures of these creatures might be, they have left an undeniable mark on both cryptid lore and alien encounters, and their legacy continues to inspire curiosity to this day. The Hopkinsville Goblin incident not only became a chilling yet mysterious event in its own right, but it also played a significant role in popularizing the little green men trope in alien lore. Before this incident, the ideas of aliens was largely influenced by science fiction, and aliens were typically imagined as either benevolent or terrifyingly monstrous beings, often far removed from the familiar human-like traits we now associate with the stereotypical alien. But the creatures described in Hopkinsville, small, humanoid with glowing eyes and almost mischievous behavior, began to shape what we think of as the quote classic alien. The descriptions from the family of the creatures were more curious than hostile, with their metallic, almost glowing skins were transformed into popular media into the little green men that many of us recognize today. And while the creatures weren't described as green by the witnesses, the media's portrayal of them as such stuck, further embedding this idea into our collective consciousness. The incident didn't just fade into the history of strange events. It has left a lasting cultural footprint. In fact, the town of Hopkinsville, Kentucky has embraced its eerie history, holding an annual festival to celebrate the strange happenings and attract curious tourists. The Hopkinsville Goblin Days Festival is complete with local events, parades, costumes, and it celebrates the famous encounter that helped cement the town's place in UFO and cryptid folklore. This event has also had a major influence on popular media. The Little Green Men trope, born from the bizarre events of 1955, has since evolved into part of the mainstream narrative about extraterrestrial beings. It's shaped how we think about aliens, often as small, otherworldly beings with large eyes and a glowing metallic sheen. In some ways, the Hopkinsville Goblins helped create a new archetype in the lore of extraterrestrials. The legacy of the Little Green Men lives on, and it all traces back to an unforgettable night in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. As we close this chapter, the question still lingers. What did the Sutton and Langford families truly encounter that night? Or did they come face to face with something otherworldly? Something we still can't fully understand. The mystery of the Hopkinsville Goblins remains unsolved, and perhaps it always will be. As with any great mystery, it's the unanswered questions that keep us coming back for more. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to check out our Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast and our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/darkflorida411 for more content. And as always, if you have your own stories, encounters, or experiences with the paranormal, cryptids, or the unexplained, and you would like to be on the show, I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me at darkfloridapodcast@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram at Dark Florida Podcast. If you'd like to help support the show, leave us a 5-star review. It really helps. And visit our page, buymeacoffee.com/darkflorida. Thanks again for listening. And until next time, stay curious and stay strange.